you give them something to eat. That's what Jesus told his disciples 2,000 years ago. But what did that mean? What were the implications of those six little words? And what's that got to do with us? You know, it's good to reflect from time to time and look back over where the Lord has brought us from. A little over 10 years ago, before my time here, Pioneer Church suffered a near-death experience. For about 140 years, it had been part of the Presbyterian denomination, one branch or another. But then the eldership fractured and turned against each other, and some of them actually locked the pastor out of the church. He soon resigned, as did the elders, and they went their separate ways, all but one of them, that is. A 21-year-old gal named Renee was the last elder standing. A 21-year-old elder sounds like an oxymoron, but she proved more mature than the elder gentleman who abandoned the church. But there was a real problem. So few members remained that the Presbyterian denomination had the legal right to declare the church non-viable and sell off the property and take the money and run. But Renee and a handful of remaining members got together and went through the process of taking the church independent in order to preserve the church for future generations. They elected new elders, and services for the new independent Pioneer Church continued. I was invited here to lead a Bible study about 9 years ago, and to my complete surprise, they eventually invited me to be the pastor. Others of you joined shortly after. Slowly, the Lord brought us back from the brink. We began experiencing growth from 10 to 20 to 30. Then came the darkness, the panic of the COVID pandemic, and with it the sudden loss of freedoms that we used to take for granted, and we were forced to close the doors of the church for the first time in its history, to my knowledge anyway. Some of our regulars went home to isolate and never came back. The rest of us met on the East Lawn every Sunday morning, and that was actually a pretty neat time, except when trucks came by or neighbors got their leaf blowers out. Then, as if we were not already challenged enough, fires tore through the nearby hills and valleys and communities and left a lingering smoke that turned our blue skies an orangish gray and our air close to unbreathable. The pandemic chased us outside and the smoke chased us back inside. That should have been the death of this church, for it was the case of many churches that closed during the pandemic. And yet, here we are, and we are growing again. And why? Because a faithful Lord brought us faithful people. And you have been faithful, faithful to pray, faithful to give, faithful to bear one another's burdens through our challenging times. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We've witnessed the truth of that personally, and our future is brighter than ever. True, the darkness of this generation still remains nearby. It lingers in various forms, but that's okay, because stars can't shine where they don't have the backdrop of the night sky, and they shine the brightest when the dark is darkest. And I believe that only in years to come will we fully understand and appreciate why we've gone through the struggles we've had. But it's enough to know that Jesus has been and is our shepherd through these dark times. And this is often the case with the Lord's mysterious workings. Often dark times for God's people precede times of fruitful labor and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So this scripture stands true, those who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. That's Psalm 126, verse 5. Dark times humble us and make clear to us our limitations and cause us to hold fast to the Lord by faith. And just when we best see our inadequacies, the Lord calls us to fruitful labor. And what of the scripture I quoted? You give them something to eat? Well, let's read that passage, starting with Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Now for the application. There was a great crowd of people. They were hungry. The disciples knew they did not have the supplies needed to feed them. They did an inventory among themselves and said, "The need of these people is great, and we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. We have nothing for them." A correct assessment. Then they come up with the solution. Have Jesus send the people away. Well, that'll solve our problem. That's what we need. If the people go away, the problem goes with them. Then we'll have our little meal of bread and fish. Made sense to them. But to their surprise and disbelief, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." Are you kidding? Us? "But Jesus, you don't understand. We don't have anything to feed them. What we have is very meager. The crowd is large, but the loaves are very small, and the fish are even smaller. The task is huge. In fact, it's impossible. We don't have what's needed, and we can't give what we don't have." Well, that realization is probably exactly what Jesus was looking for. So he says, in essence, "That little you have, those few loaves and fewer fish, bring them to me, and I'll make what is very small to be large enough to fit the need, even larger." Notice, he didn't make food for this crowd out of the thin air. He could have, but that's not the way he wants to work. Jesus always wants partnership with his people to solve the world's problems and fulfill people's needs. So he took what the disciples had, the disciples' contribution, and he just increased it. Now, we would prefer to go away and leave Jesus to fix everybody's problems, but Jesus wants partnership. He wants us to be engaged and minister with what he gives us. They brought their little bread and fish to Jesus. He increased it. And notice this. He gave it back to them. Then they gave it to the people. There are 2 traps to Christian service. One trap is thinking we have what's needed. Our wisdom, our insight, our experience, our resources. So we don't need to pray and ask for help because we know what to do. That's trap number one. Trap number two is that we underestimate what the Lord can do through our humble service, through the gifts God has given us or can give us if we ask. And we think, "Oh, I'm no match for this," and we go and hide. But true service to God lies in the middle. We bring what little we have to Jesus, and he increases it. You give them something to eat. That speaks of service, not coming just to receive, but to give. In the context of church meetings, maybe it's giving a testimony of God's faithfulness, a word of encouragement, a prayer. If you're musically gifted, perhaps a special song. Or perhaps it's a personal word of encouragement to someone here, an appreciation for what they've said or done. And there's the 9 a.m. Bible study. People get to participate and share with others what the Lord has shown them from the Word. And there's the women's group. And there's the men's group. And there's a whole world that we interact with. Family, friends, co-workers, neighbors. Study the scriptures. Read good devotionals. Have something to share with others. You give them something to eat. Now, not every problem is ours to fix. Some things are just a distraction. And it takes experience and discernment and sometimes prayer to know the difference. But this matter before us was clear. These were people who were there at the invitation of Jesus, and it was the disciples' responsibility that they be fed. If it is truly our task to do, let us bring to Jesus the need, along with the knowledge of our inability to meet the need, and Jesus will make up the difference. And the result? Everyone was satisfied. Everyone had been fed, and fed to the full. So shall it be for us as we engage in the service of Jesus in our own generation. This little church stands as a beacon of eternal hope for this city, a place of joy, a laboratory of love, and you are all a part of that.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, oh, life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.